Brothers and sisters, comrades and friends, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the warmth of your welcome, for the wonderful platform that has been assembled here this evening. Some of the most powerful speeches I've heard in a long time have already been made this evening. I hope I can do justice, and I apologize to Ken Loach and to the rest of you for my late arrival and my entrance, cinematic sense, which I hope Ken will forgive me. It was certainly due to the M6 rather than any deliberate policy on my part. It is fantastically important when the might of the British state is coming down on top of you to know that you have friends in the country. And this is the 6th speech in 8 or 9 days that I have made, which explains my voice cracking a wee bit. And the response everywhere has been the same. Although the media, who are here again this evening, come to these meetings and they hear the response and they feel the warmth and they take the pictures and they never publish them. And yet, on Monday, when I addressed the May Day rally in the Wirral, where hundreds of people gave me a wonderful reception, one shaven-headed BNP supporting lout threw an egg which missed and miraculously has appeared on the front page of every newspaper in the land and every news bulletin in the land. So I give you this guarantee: unless one of you throws an egg at me, nobody else in the country will ever hear about this meeting. But the important thing is that we all know that it happened. And we are all stronger because of the continuing struggle of the Stop the War coalition, which hasn't gone away and doesn't intend to go away. We have marched millions of people to the top of the hill in this country, and we're not going to march them down again until we've changed this country for good. Yeah. Now, as is well known, I have some enemies out there. I see the representatives of some of them in the hall tonight, and I ask them only to honestly report what I say. And it's important to study who they are. I have begun legal proceedings against the Telegraph newspaper groups and the right-wing American newspaper, the Christian Science Monitor. Between them, these newspapers have alleged, and I kid you not, because this is the tally now, my lawyers have done the counting, that I have received $15 million from Saddam Hussein, making me a multi-millionaire. Now, if you believe that, you believe anything. But who are the Telegraph? Who are they? Owned by Lord and Lady Black. Lady Black, as Barbara Emil, is General Ariel Sharon's best friend in the British media. Who sits on the board of the Daily Telegraph's parent company? Richard Pell, Henry Kissinger, and Margaret Thatcher. You couldn't make that one up. But it's not just the libels and the lies of fantastic, absurd proportions which are a part of this assault. There's actually a much more serious issue, which those of you who saw Question Time last night will see was the main topic of the debate on the question that dealt with this subject. The Attorney General, the Labour Attorney General, you'll remember him, Lord Goldsmith, the only senior law figure in the world who considered the war on Iraq to be legal, is currently considering a bid by a group of so-called forces families to prosecute me for treason under the Treason Acts of 1934.
Prosecute us all, George.
And I hope that if that happens, we have 100,000 people outside the Old Bailey on the day that the trial happens. This prosecution, you'd be wrong. Carefully placed on the front page of the Observer newspaper, a week past Sunday, on the front page was the news that the Attorney General is giving serious consideration to this prosecution, which was last used against Pat Arrowsmith, the peace campaigner, in 1974, who went to prison for 18 months for handing out leaflets to soldiers outside their barracks asking them not to fight in the north of Ireland. This is a serious business. In 2003, for speaking words, for expressing a view, honestly felt that somebody might be prosecuted and sent to prison, even when they were speaking for millions of people in the country and speaking for hundreds of millions of people around the world. I tell Lord Goldsmith he will make the government an international laughingstock if he allows the Sun to proceed with this action under the Treason Acts. But if he does, I'll be there. They can charge me with incitement to disaffection. Because as I've told some of you before, I long ago decided that when the time comes, I want the words chiseled on my gravestone: he spent his life inciting them to disaffection. Disaffection with war, disaffection with the capitalist system, disaffection with injustice. I am proud to be accused by Rupert Murdoch of incitement. Now, I say for the journalists who are here and for those who are reporting back to this clique which has suspended me from membership of a party in which I've spent 35 years, a suspension without a meeting, a suspension without a hearing, a suspension without so much as a telephone call, a suspension told to the capitalist newspapers before it was told to me, I say to them this: I stand by every single word I spoke throughout the campaign against the war on Iraq. John Rees so powerfully enunciated here this evening. Everything that we said is not only turning out to be true, but turning out to be true much faster than any of us believed. The Intifada, the uprising of the Iraqi people against their occupiers, began within days of the declaration of a victory, with that staged stunt in front of the Palestine Hotel a month or so ago.
And every day, although you have to search to find it, every single day, there is fighting between the American occupation forces and young people in Iraq. Sometimes it's fighting with guns. Yesterday, on a bridge over the Tigris, a bridge I know well, a young man walked up to an American soldier and shot him dead, and it didn't appear in any of the news bulletins. Just yesterday. In the last 10 days, a British soldier has shot dead a 14-year-old boy in Basra, and in Mosul and Fallujah in the last 2 weeks, together, 36 people, unarmed demonstrators, have been shot dead by American forces firing heavy automatic weapons from rooftops and from helicopter gunships. And already the pattern of young boys and girls with stones in their hand being shot dead by heavily armed soldiers and airmen, followed by mass funerals at which more resistance from the funeral attenders is offered and met with volleys and fusillades of fire. Where have you seen that before? Where have we witnessed decade after decade now of occupation, violence, and the resistance of the occupied people clashing daily and going into a vortex of death, chaos, and bloodshed? It took the Palestinians many years to begin their intifada. The Iraqis began their intifada learning from the youth of the Palestinian intifada, learning from the inspiration of the youth of the Palestinian intifada. And we are right to say to the families of British soldiers who might be listening, might somehow hear what we're saying here this evening, we don't regard your children in the British armed forces as criminals. I never called them wolves. I called them lions led by donkeys sent into a quagmire to kill and perchance be killed for the re-election of George W. Bush and the enrichment of the friends of the Republican Party in the United States of America. And it is precisely because we do not wish any harm to your children that we say, bring the British forces back to Britain now, without delay, without delay. The Iraqis are not fools. They can see and hear what's going on. They watch Jay Gardner. As John said, you couldn't make him up. I mean, he's a character out of a sitcom. A bull-necked, Texan, moronic, ignoramus, who knows nothing, nothing, nothing about Iraq, about Arabs, about Islam, appearing on television, pointing his finger at a people whose land he's occupying, not knowing that in Islam you never, ever, ever point your finger at anyone. And he did it over and over again, telling them what he wanted them to do, what he was insisting that they did. I mean, he's been so bad, they've sacked him and replaced him with one of Ronald Reagan's officials. That's the people that we're dealing with here. But the real looters, Mr. Garner, are not the ragged, arsed, poverty-stricken, downtrodden Shiites from Saddam City. The real looters are the men in pinstripe suits from Bechtel and from Shell and from Esso and from all the multinational companies. Look the wealth. not to loot a television set out of a department store, or a vase out of a government ministry, but to loot billion after billion after billion of dollars of wealth from Iraq's oil and from the price of reconstructing a country which the reconstructors themselves destroyed and are even now destroying. The Iraqi people are not fools. We told them before the war began that Iraq will never accept foreign occupation of its country and the looting of its wealth, and they're on the streets now in millions rejecting it with every single Friday. Now, contrary to some newspaper opinion, I never visited Iraq before the Gulf War in 1991. I would have been arrested if I had visited Iraq before 1991. I was a known opponent of the Iraqi regime. I used to be demonstrating outside their embassy and their cultural center in Good Street in London and Tottenham Court Road, when British businessmen and ministers were inside selling them guns and gas. And I've met Saddam Hussein twice, exactly the same number of times as Donald Rumsfeld has met Saddam Hussein. The difference is, I met Saddam Hussein last August to ask him to let the arms inspectors in so that they could destroy weapons. Donald Rumsfeld visited him twice so he could sell him weapons and give him the surveillance photographs to target better the Iranian forces. So I have no special place in Iraq, though it became, and its people became, particularly important to me. I have no special place to give them advice, but if I could reach them through the fog of war and occupation, I would say this: do not allow yourselves to be divided on a confessional or a religious or a tribal basis. Try to stay together as one people. Try not to break up into a kind of Yugoslavia where people fight each other instead of concentrating on the main enemy, which is the foreign occupier who came to your land to steal your wealth. Try to find a unity between the communists and the nationalists and the Muslims and the Shiites and the Sunnis and the Christians. Try to be one hand, and with that one hand, I predict you will chase the occupier from your land much quicker. Sanat Abba was right. One of the purposes of this great assault upon Iraq was, of course, to break Iraq, to break its back, to divide it and weaken it so that it could never build the economic or political strength to be any kind of challenge to imperialist hegemony in the Gulf and to the Zionist superpower in the Mediterranean. Of course, that was one of its purposes. But its secondary purpose, and almost as important, was to break the spirit of the Palestinians to continue their resistance. They forced a regime change on the Palestinians already. Yasser Arafat is virtually the only Arab leader from the Atlantic to the Gulf that was actually elected to be a leader by his own people, and he's been kicked upstairs on the orders of the United States. And don't be fooled by this. Do you think they've imposed Abu Mazen because they want the Palestinians to have a better leadership? Why should Sharon and Bush want the Palestinians to have a better leadership? They want the Palestinians to have a weaker leadership which will bow the knee to them and surrender to them and sign a surrender peace for them. And like Samar, I believe that the Palestinian street will never allow any such surrender to pass. Any document of surrender which may be contemplated by the regime change leadership in Palestine will not pass the ranks of the Palestinian resistance movements, whether nationalist or socialist or Islamist, and will be resisted and will require our support around the world. Victory to the Intifada! End the occupation! No more wars! Thank you very much.